And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this very cold Wednesday in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you today. Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville will join us at 6:30. We'll get into the latest with the Tennessee Volunteers with him. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press joins us at 8 o'clock. Matt Duchesne, Predator Center, will join us at 9 o'clock, and then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30. So a lot to get to on today's show, and make sure you're tuning in this hour for the cue to call for your chance to qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Preds season opener versus the Columbus Blue Jackets at Bridgestone Arena tomorrow night. That's going to be something we're doing all day long here on 102.5 The Game, so make sure that you're listening for your chance to qualify for those tickets. Joe Rexroad, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, my man. Ryan Porth, how are we doing? What's going on?
Phenomenal.
Very good. Good to know both of you are on the same page. Doing very well.
Doing great. It's a great Wednesday in Smashville, Tennessee.
It is. Lots of action this week. We go from the Titans. Now the Predators getting started and underway tomorrow. Lots to get to. But you know, Joe, the one thing that never sleeps, Tennessee Volunteers football, and more news again yesterday in the world of Tennessee Volunteers football. Kevin Steele, former Auburn defensive coordinator, is joining Tennessee's coaching staff as, quote, a defensive assistant. So not a defensive coordinator, not a defensive line coach, just a defensive assistant. And that's got a lot of Tennessee fans confused. I mean, we talked about a hiring freeze. We talked about the investigation going on right now with Jeremy Pruitt and this football program. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Steele is going to be a part of the program now and is joining forces with that Tennessee football program in Knoxville. Joe, when you saw this, what was your reaction to it?
Just more confusion. And I mean, and that's where I am, you know, because, there was the freeze, and now there's not the freeze. You got to be careful when you say hiring.
Yeah, freeze. I know. You really do in this situation.
Yeah. But, I mean, I have no idea. So, you know, Chris Lowe reported this yesterday. Our David Ubbin at The Athletic, you know, he got the contract and tweeted this out yesterday. He's like, this is a full, you know, full contract signed by the chancellor. And so he's on the staff. So does this mean Jeremy Pruitt is now just cleared to go about his business? Like, you know, does this mean something thawed in the investigation where it's like, okay, you know, we're going to move forward? Or is this, is Kevin still going to be the coach when they fire everybody else? I mean, I have no idea. You know? People are talking about Doug Marrone being the next Vols coach yesterday. So, I mean, man, your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, it was interesting. I had Trey Wallace on the Power T podcast yesterday, and we were just going through the timeline of this investigation. And he made a good point. He's like, you know, if this was a small deal, the lawyers, I mean, this would have been wrapped up a month ago. It's pretty expensive to keep these lawyers around and to have these people looking into an investigation. I mean, they know something, and they've come up with something in this. And, you know, Trey made it sound like maybe even by the end of this week, they'll have presented something to Jeremy Pruitt. So, I mean, it's fascinating. And then I get done recording that. I tweet it out. And then like 35 minutes later, this stuff with Kevin Steele comes out. I'm more confused than I was to start this whole process, just because you look at Kevin Steele, I think it's a good hire. I mean, he's a guy that's got a great reputation in recruiting and, you know, defensively. I think in 2017, he was a finalist for the Broyles Award as the top assistant coach in college football. So obviously a guy that's got some good experience. He knows what he's doing back there, very good at recruiting. But it just leaves you asking the question, like, okay, does this mean Jeremy Pruitt is in the clear? Or a lot of Tennessee fans yesterday thought, all right, if Jeremy Pruitt ends up getting fired, maybe Kevin Steele is like the interim coach. Like, it's just a very strange hire and strange timing of it in Knoxville, which – is the king of strange timing and strange hires.
Yeah, well, and you know, normally with this name, you would automatically think about Gus Malzahn because he's been his you know, his DC since 2016. But, you know, before that he was at LSU. Before that he was with Saban, Clemson, and, you know, played at Tennessee. But it basically, the way it was framed at Auburn was like it was almost like a coup attempt, and he was trying to take the job after Gus got fired. And so, you know, I mean, the word on the street is that, like, Kevin Steele and Gus Malzahn are no longer buddies. You know? So I guess this doesn't mean, you know, Gus is coming next. But I mean, to your point there, if there was a change, I guess, you know, he could be your interim coach in 2021. I mean, it's possible, you know, because that's another point here is that Derek Ansley is still the DC. It's not like he was brought in to be DC. It's possible he'll be like a linebackers coach. I mean, it's just, and it's just like they're trying to throw these things out for all of us to try to put the puzzle together, you know? I mean, it's just this big mystery. So they really need to say something. Someone needs to say something.
Yes, and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt did say something in a statement released when Kevin Steele was hired. Again, this was in Chris Lowe's article on ESPN. Quote, "Kevin is someone I have respected and admired for a long time on and off the field. I had the opportunity to learn and work with him during our time at Alabama, and our friendship grew from there. He has outstanding knowledge of the game and understand what it takes to be successful in this conference." So, I mean, not a whole lot of detail in that statement from Jeremy Pruitt, but it doesn't sound like somebody that's just totally frustrated that they've gone and made this move and brought Kevin Steele in. So that tells me that he had something to do with this. It wasn't just somebody, you know, going over his head, but this just continues to be really strange with the investigation in Knoxville.
Right. I mean, yeah, I guess it's important to have him have his voice out there. Like, hey, everybody, just so you know,
just
like,
so you know,
they didn't do this behind my back. Yeah. I mean, it's just strange. Meanwhile, you got more guys leaving. You have some guys coming back, but, you know, Sean Schamberger is another guy who gets in the transfer portal for the Vols. Some guys coming back too, you know, Valus Jones and Cade Mays and guys like that. So it's a mixed bag there. Probably, you know, more losses than gains or returns, but still some guys coming back. So you got Ty Chandler now, I guess he's going to be at North Carolina. Yeah. So
yeah, going to be in North Carolina. And that he got there yesterday. And Chandler, a guy that, you know, has been productive, now battled through injuries a lot in his career, whether it was a concussion a few years ago, didn't look like he was healthy at the end of this season. And Eric Gray took over basically as the full-time guy at the running back position. But I think Ty Chandler, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he goes to North Carolina and helps them. I mean, Mac Brown's doing an outstanding job in North Carolina. And I don't, you know, they're not going to go win the ACC or anything and overtake Clemson. But that North Carolina team has a chance to be pretty good. And I think Ty Chandler could have a big role on that team.
Yeah, they lost their top two backs, so that works out. But just hard to understand exactly, like, why now. I mean, to me, it almost feels like a response to the Mark Schlabaugh report about the hiring freeze. Yeah. You know, I mean, again, like, not saying that they were like, well, we just need to hire someone to hire them. I mean, this is a good hire. And Kevin Steele is a good assistant coach. It's a good addition to any staff. But, you know, why after that comes out and now why has that been changed? What changed? And if something significant changed, well, then someone come out and say, just so you guys know, Jeremy Pruitt is the coach next year.
Yeah. All we're asking for here, Joe, is a little bit of communication. I mean, it's been radio silence from that football program for the last few weeks. And it's interesting, like, you've got obviously two different parts of this. One part is the university itself, and the other part is the athletic department. And, you know, there have been some statements tossed out by the university itself regarding the investigation and how seriously they take compliance and, you know, looking to cooperate in every way that they can, all that stuff. And you haven't heard a word from the athletic department. That's got to change soon. I mean, I understand you're still under investigation and there's lawyers and all these different things involved, but obviously something is going on and something is happening when you're making a hire like this. We need to hear from somebody in that athletic department very soon.
Yeah, and obviously I would really like to know just what Philip Fulmer thinks about things and what his perspective is on this. I mean, I feel like, you know, Tennessee fans have sort of been conditioned to expect a change here.
Right.
At coach, you know, and I would, it seems like most probably want one, maybe not all of them, but that's just the way it's been trending, you know? So now I guess this is a reason to at least condition yourself to expect that that's not going to happen. But it's very strange. And I mean, this kind of investigation, like I said, you talked with Trey about the investigation. I mean, clearly it's some serious stuff. Is it possible that, you know, after all this time, they still don't know exactly, you know, like still don't know exactly how serious or what, you know, Pruitt's involvement or what? I mean, I don't know. It's been long enough that you would think that they'd have things pretty much figured out about what went on, or at least what they can tell about what went on.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that just adds to the confusion of what we've seen over the course of the past day. So always some fascinating times in Knoxville, and we'll see what the future of Jeremy Pruitt looks like, and we're going to get into that when we come back. Will Jeremy Pruitt be the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers to begin next season? Let us know on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up. But first, I have got a word from FanDuel. And I got to tell you, football fans, I've got the perfect way to make the playoffs even more exciting this weekend. And it's called a same-game parlay bet, and they're only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. A same-game parlay lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the divisional round coming up this weekend. You can combine the money line, the over-under, and player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you place a same-game parlay bet risk-free. All FanDuel customers, you can get up to $25 back on your bet if you don't win, and the playoffs are the perfect time to give one a shot. It's just one of the many ways to win on FanDuel. They've got easy-to-use odds boost and specials, a range of betting options like player props and futures. You can find whatever bet you're looking for on FanDuel because they've got a heap of options. So if you haven't already, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up to get started. Use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, at sign-up. That's promo code ROB at sign-up. And if you're a current customer, you're already set. Just go check out the same-game parlays only available on FanDuel Sportsbook. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to have Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville join us at 6:30. So we'll continue to discuss the Vols with him. But Joe, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. And today's question is this: will Jeremy Pruitt be the head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers to start the 2021 season? So far, 95 votes are in, 55% say no, 45% say yes, that he will be the coach to begin the 2021 season. So Joe Rexrode, very close in the voting so far, and you have said in your call shots that you don't believe Jeremy Pruitt will be the head coach to begin next season. And as this saga continues to unfold and the investigation continues to trudge on, Kevin Steele hired yesterday as a defensive assistant at Tennessee, it's becoming, I think, harder and harder to try to get a gauge of what's going on and exactly what's happening. But as you sit here right now, Joe Rexrode, are you willing to stand by your called shot that Jeremy Pruitt will not be the head coach to begin the 2021 season?
Yeah, I mean, I won't remove it. I'll stand by it. But, I mean, certainly yesterday makes me, you know, gives me pause. I felt pretty strongly about it before that, you know, because when you talk about – all the other things we know, you know, the investigation and, you know, the cost of the investigation, the duration. We're talking about 2 months now, basically. Yeah. I think it was November 19th was that letter for the law firm. So you're talking about something that's been going on almost 2 months. All those things added up to me to just spell trouble for Jeremy Pruitt. I'm going to stick with it, but I do find it very interesting that Tennessee hired Kevin Steele. I mean, again, you can look at that in different ways. And I know the Vols fan who really wants Jeremy Pruitt to be fired can look at this and say, okay, so they brought in Kevin Steele. He knows that whoever is coach next year, he'll be in place with this contract, and potentially he could be the interim coach for a year, you know, see how it goes, and then do a full search. If it doesn't go extremely well, I mean, you could go down that road and talk yourself into that stuff. And that may be true, you know, but it's also possible that this means that Jeremy Pruitt, like there's something that has brightened for Jeremy Pruitt internally to the point that they let him go do this hire and he's going to be back, but I'll stick with it. I mean, Jeremy Pruitt gets named vice chancellor. I won't be surprised. Like there's nothing that's going to surprise me here. So everyone should keep an open mind.
Yes. Everyone should keep an open mind. And it's interesting. Like as you view this whole process, I think there's a viewpoint from some that this investigation began simply because Tennessee was 3-7 and Jeremy Pruitt was not doing well. And some people wanted to get him out. And it was interesting. I talked to Trey Wallace yesterday and he said, you know, he doesn't think this was about trying to find a way to get Pruitt out at the beginning of this, but the more the investigation went on and the more information that came about, you know, it's turned into that this could be a possibility that Jeremy Pruitt is fired or they decide to move on and there's a settlement involved somewhere in that degree. So it's interesting. Like we've talked about, you know, if Tennessee's 7-3 or if they're 8-2, what does this investigation look like? How serious is it? And I don't know, the more information that I hear and the more people you hear talk about it, say there's something to this. Now, would it be as big of a deal? Would there be lawyers involved? Would there be the threat of him losing his job if they were 7-3? I don't know. But it does sound like the more that you talk to people that this is not just something that's minor. So from that standpoint, my view on this hasn't really changed. I know Kevin Steele was hired yesterday. And again, Joe, like you said, you can read into that any way you want to read into it. But it still feels like from everything you hear that this is pretty serious and that Jeremy Pruitt could absolutely not be the coach next year. So I haven't moved off of that. I still think if I had to pinpoint a guess right now, I would say no. I would say Jeremy Pruitt is not the coach to begin next season. But to your point, I mean, Kevin Steele coming in, that did make me just kind of throw my hands up in the air and say, all right, what in the world is going on in Knoxville, Tennessee? Like, I have no idea how to react to these people anymore.
Right. And, yeah, there's no doubt that there's, you know, serious stuff going on here. It's also, like, I'm trying to think of examples of schools. Usually, you know, it's the NCAA that comes first when it's something like this. I mean, I look, all these schools have compliance departments, okay? And their job really is to make sure everybody's following all the, you know, just following the rules on time for practices and things like that. But largely, then when there's an investigation, it's about helping the school not get in trouble. You know, I mean, yep. That's really what the compliance department is. And so you just don't often see something like this happen internally, you know, for a major college football program. I mean, that's why it read as a, okay, so why is this going on? But I don't know. I mean, it's the one thing that shouldn't be disputed at all at this point is that, you know, this is some serious stuff. I mean, I think somebody or somebody's, you know, lose some jobs here. You know, it's just a matter of does it go all the way up to Pruitt or not.
So let me throw this out at you because, again, Trey Wallace joined the Power T podcast yesterday, and we actually referenced your brilliant poll question, Joe Rexroad, that you threw up a couple of weeks ago about, you know, if you know that these four guys are interested in Tennessee, which one would you hire? And I think you threw out Hugh Freeze and Tom Herman, Gus Malzahn, and Tom Allen now at Indiana. You know, I was telling Trey, just it was amazing to me that Hugh Freeze is still leading that poll, I mean, pretty significantly, pretty substantially. And we went through all those guys, and he talked about some different candidates along the line. And then Trey, on his own, brought up Lane Kiffin. And his exact words were, you know, from people that he's talked to and from things that he's heard, before Lane Kiffin signed his contract extension at Ole Miss, he was calling and checking around on what the future of Jeremy Pruitt was going to look like, to the point where Trey Wallace said, like, if Jeremy Pruitt is not the coach and this ends up going poorly for him and Tennessee decides to move on, that the call that he would make would be to Lane Kiffin just to see if he was interested. See, like, hey, man, would you even consider coming here and taking this job? When you hear that, when you hear that maybe Lane Kiffin was poking around earlier this year, and maybe Trey thinks that if Pruitt's gone, you should call Kiffin and see what his interest level is, what's your reaction to that? Do you think that that would even be a possibility at this point?
Well, so who's making the call? Philip Fulmer's not making that call, right?
Probably not.
I mean, I don't think – yeah. So, I mean, look, Lane Kiffin's a good coach. I think that would be just amazingly hilarious for him to go to Ole Miss and then wind his way all the way back to not. I mean, hey, I'm in for that, you know. I'm in. That would be hilarious. Look, as far as a coach, he's a good coach. He would bring what he brought 12 years ago, except that, you know, more seasoning and maybe a little bit of humbling and some experience. And yeah, he probably wouldn't bring the same staff. Gosh, you look back at that staff he had in that 1 year. That was pretty
pretty nice.
Pretty darn good staff. But, yeah, like Philip Fulmer would not be calling Lane Kiffin. So, I mean, if that's – and that's what I've wondered, because this is what I've heard a lot of times with Lane Kiffin is there is no way. There are some people at Tennessee, forget about it. But who is that? Who's left who thinks that? Fulmer for sure, right? So, Fulmer is like the Lane Kiffin at Tennessee scenario does not include Philip Fulmer, but who else at this point? I don't know. I mean, the upper administration, I would say, is largely, if not all, different, from then to now. But obviously, some people in Knoxville, harbor resentment for Lane Kiffin. I mean, but the fans, frankly. I mean, if I'm a Tennessee fan and that's a possibility, that you could do way worse than that. I mean, I would, like, to me, that's way better of an option than Hugh Freeze. But it's just it's hard for me to believe that Lane Kiffin would do that. I mean, I get, you know, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade, and you get out of the West and you go to the East. But think of what Ole Miss would think about that if you bolted on them to go to another SEC school.
It's just amazing. But, we're in this conversation now with, you know, the current Ole Miss coach, the former Ole Miss coach in Hugh Freeze. Like, I hear you. Like, if Philip Fulmer's in charge of making this next hire, like, I don't think Lane Kiffin is even considered at that point. And, you know, who knows? I mean, the situation's changed now. That was Trey talking before, you know, Kiffin signed his contract extension at Ole Miss. So, maybe Kiffin wouldn't even entertain it anymore. But I know if I'm Philip Fulmer, am I more likely to go back and hire Lane Kiffin or Hugh Freeze? I mean, I think that's an interesting question. Like, I don't know which one of those guys Fulmer would be more willing or less willing to talk to.
None of the above.
Yeah.
I mean, he would smash option C on the poll. None of the above. So, and that's another thing to keep in mind, you know, if Fulmer is making this next hire, Kiffin seems a little bit pipe dreamy, but it's interesting that he was checking. But I mean, I don't think Hugh Freeze is someone that Fulmer would remotely consider. But again, if this happens with Pruitt, it may be that, you know, Philip Fulmer is not the AD either.
Yeah, and it's interesting now, like, and we talked about this a little bit too in the past, like, if you're Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt's still there, so what are the expectations for next season? Like, what is the bar to shoot for? And we were talking about it yesterday, like, you know, 8-4. You finish 8-4 after going 3-7. I mean, you love that. You'll take that. But it's also 8-4. It probably includes losing to Alabama, Georgia, and Florida, and somebody else along the line, and beating you know South Carolina, Missouri, Kentucky, all these teams, Vanderbilt, and the four non-conference. So like, if you're Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt is here, trying to generate excitement, trying to generate, you know, some buzz heading into the next season after that, and trying to prove that he's heading in the right direction, it's just such a high bar. Like, to me, 9 wins would have to be the minimum at that point.
Yeah, you know, it's, I guess, but I mean, if he keeps the job, I mean, to me, like 8-4 at this point, how does that get him fired?
Yeah, I don't know.
If he keeps, I mean, and that's what, and that's of course also like the worry if you're a Tennessee fan is you've just, the standards have been lowered to the point where it's like, well, if you just do that stuff, then you're fine, you know, and you're not necessarily, you know, really challenging or pushing up. The gap really isn't closing.
Nice.
You know, but at the same time, if you're going to move forward with him, then why would that not retain his job after you kept him at 3-7? I don't know.
That's what we've discovered about this Tennessee football program is this. It's hard to know anything at this point with Tennessee football, but you know somebody who does know? Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. He'll join us next. We'll get into all things Tennessee with him. That's coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking all things Tennessee Volunteers. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Hey, doing well. Good morning.
Good morning. And Josh, I got to tell you, Tennessee football, I think, maybe confuses me more than anything on the earth. When I think I have things figured out and the trajectory that it's going, something happens and I just leave myself, you know, throwing my hands in the air. And Kevin Steele hired by Tennessee yesterday. What do you think of the hire? And what does that all mean in terms of the investigation going on right now with the program? Is Jeremy Pruitt safe now? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, those are great questions. I would say with Tennessee football, when you're most confused, that's maybe when things are most normal with Tennessee football. People want normal from 2020, and in some ways I think they're getting it. I don't know. There are all kinds of scenarios that you could theorize, and you could come up with opinions on what Kevin Steele means. The first and maybe most likely is that he's an available coach who's good, who has a track record coaching in the SEC and in the Southeast, coaching and recruiting, and he was a valuable coach that Tennessee could – get on the staff because Auburn let him go and they don't have to pay him as much as they normally would because Auburn's going to be paying him and with a huge buyout, and some of that's mitigated by what Tennessee pays. But you could just say, okay, well, they wanted to go get a good coach. But with all the questions that are still out there with Jeremy Pruitt, there are also ideas of, okay, well, this could be some kind of contingency plan if something happens in the next couple of weeks with Jeremy Pruitt, if something were to happen during the 2020 season. I think most everyone knows that Kevin Steele was a finalist for the head coaching position before Philip Fulmer ultimately chose Jeremy Pruitt. And then Kevin Steele has so many connections to Tennessee and to Philip Fulmer. I understand why those connections are being made. They're also being made, or the idea is being tossed out that, okay, well, this could be something to have Kevin Steele be an interim coach or the head coach at some point, because Tennessee is still not confirmed that Jeremy Pruitt is going to be the head coach, and Tennessee has had plenty of opportunities to do so. So while these rumors are out there and there's speculation and there are just legitimate questions, to this point, Tennessee has chosen not to answer. How come?
Yeah, I mean, like if Jeremy Pruitt would have put in a statement like, you know, this will be great, and especially if I get fired now, you guys are going to be okay. You've got Kevin Steele in place. So that would help clear things up. But unfortunately, right. We didn't get that. How surprised were you just when this came across yesterday, Josh? Or are you to the point where, like you said, you should not be surprised by anything and you should expect surprising things?
Yeah, not surprised all that much. And there had been talk in the 24 hours leading up to the hiring being announced that there was conversation behind the scenes between Tennessee and Kevin Steele. I mean, I guess a little bit just from the report that came out last week from ESPN that Tennessee was not allowing contract extensions to the current staff members for Jeremy Pruitt to go out and make hires. And I can't sit here and say that that report was incorrect, because that's another one Tennessee could have easily put out. No, we can still make hires. Jeremy Pruitt's allowed to make staff hires, and Tennessee chose not to do that. Again, I would ask why not. So it could have been lifted. This is one where, okay, maybe an exception was made because of the connection Tennessee has with Kevin Steele, and they're more comfortable there. And Tennessee has signed off on it, so it's not just Jeremy Pruitt making a hire. That's a common question that I've seen. Well, did Jeremy Pruitt really make this hire, or is this Philip Fulmer saying, okay, we're going to bring this guy in? I think it's both with the connections there. Kevin Steele has connections to Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer. But it does raise more questions. And if fans are out there confused by last week's report and yesterday's news, you should be, because everything remains quiet behind the scenes at Tennessee, and it remains confusing while this investigation is still going on. And that's the obvious holdup. Until that's finalized, then I can't really imagine that Jeremy Pruitt's status for this upcoming year is finalized either.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Josh, we're going on 2 months now into this investigation, and I realize, I mean, this process, it's going to take as long as it's going to take, but just purely from this football program and the optics and the standpoint, regardless if Pruitt is here or if he's not, how important is this to get wrapped up soon, to just try to move on and save face? Because regardless of how this shakes out, this does not look very good right now for Tennessee and their football program.
You're right. It is not. I would think that it's really important. It's important from a standpoint of the timeline, from financial standpoint, probably. It's not a cheap investigation that's taking place with the outside help that Tennessee has brought in. And you need closure. You need to head into the offseason. You mentioned the two-month timeline with the investigation. We are nearing a month into the offseason with the question still remaining, who exactly is going to be Tennessee's head coach? Is it going to be Jeremy Pruitt or somebody else? Now, Jeremy Pruitt's continued to work, because last week, while you had this going on and more doubt starting to creep in about Jeremy Pruitt's status, he went out and landed a quarterback commitment from Virginia Tech, Hendon Hooker, who is transferring in for the spring semester and will have a really good chance to be Tennessee's starter. He's an upgrade from what Tennessee's had over the last 3 years. So while all this is going on, Tennessee has been able to add Kevin Steele to the staff. Tennessee has been able to get Hendon Hooker on board. Now, I think there's some other either prospects or guys out there that have considered transferring that have looked at Tennessee and said, I don't know. So a lot of people are still asking questions, and I would also imagine there are some coaches that Jeremy Pruitt had interest in potentially adding to the staff, and it became more difficult, maybe lost somebody to another school because of the current situation at Tennessee. So they've managed in some ways, but absolutely, Tennessee, the players, the fans, the families need to know what's happening for 2021 and beyond as much as they can.
Well, and it's, you know, they've also lost some guys, of course, and I don't know if some of these guys would have still gone into the portal if not for this situation. I mean, Sean Schamberger is the latest. There was kind of a pause on that, and then he gets in the portal, but they've lost some good players. So, like, to your point there, Josh, they get Hooker, but then I think about that, and it's like, man, if I'm Harrison Bailey right now, what am I thinking, you know,
sure,
about Hendon Hooker coming in? And I know that's how it goes in college football. I mean, it's this is transfer season, and teams upgrade and bring in guys, but it's interesting to me to even think about the guys who are coming back, like Cade Mays, or coming in. You know, how are they viewing this differently than the guys who are leaving, you know, and how different would the whole thing look right now if this investigation weren't happening? I'm assuming this is having some impact on that.
Right. It has to have some kind of impact. It's difficult to tell, and it's difficult to project what players are going to do, whether we're talking about prospects from the high school level or guys that are transferring or guys that are deciding whether to stay or go. One thing to keep in mind is they all look at it differently in some ways. Multiple guys who signed with Tennessee back in December in the recruiting process said that they knew that there were questions about the coaching staff, but still signed and in some ways didn't ask too many questions. Miles Campbell is a tight end that knew that, you know, change could happen, but I'm still going to Tennessee. Walker Merrill from there at Brentwood, he's coming in for the spring semester. I asked him about it, and he said that he knew that there were questions, but he didn't really talk to the coaches because he guessed that they probably didn't have good answers. Did they really know if they were going to be out? Maybe not, and they may not tell them anyway. So, you know, guys look at it differently, and it may scare off some players. It might be something that isn't too big of a concern. The idea of committing to a school or signing with a school is great. Hearing that from Miles Campbell is, I think that's a good idea because of how much change we often see. But we also know that there are a lot of players that don't look at it that way, and they sign with a coach or they're recruited by a coach, and that's the biggest influence to go to a school. And that's why so many look at it differently. But I find it hard to believe that there are some players out there that Tennessee has had interest in that haven't looked at the current situation and said, I might want to go with what is a safer bet right now. Trust the coaches, appreciate the coaches, but don't know for sure that they're going to be there, and that has to negatively impact some players.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh, as you watched the national championship game take place on Monday night, did you get the feeling that the gap is still closing between Tennessee and Alabama?
Yeah, that quote came up again, as you might imagine, here in Knoxville. I did not, in fact, I did not get that feeling watching what Alabama was doing. And from different angles, from a personnel standpoint, while Alabama has so much individual talent out there, and a lot of it's moving on, and it's going to be replaced by the number one recruiting class in the country for 2021, by the way, but also just what Alabama is doing on the field. I think the Kevin Steele hire is really nice, and that he's a respected coach, knows what he's doing, can coach different positions. If he's an assistant coach, if he needs to be the defense coordinator or help in that regard, he can. But aren't we watching the offensive side of the ball with what Alabama's doing? I know I'm not the first person to bring that up, but that to me is a big deal. And that's why adding Hooker to the roster is good for Tennessee. He can be an upgrade at the quarterback position, but Tennessee needs to change what it's doing offensively, and Tennessee needs to figure out ways to get its skill position players to make more plays. I'm not saying be Alabama, but be what Alabama's trying to be. Can you not be what Ole Miss is? Ole Miss is on the schedule, by the way, this upcoming season. So from a roster standpoint, from a schematic standpoint, I see a gap that has widened with what Alabama's doing and what Tennessee has done the last few years.
Well, I'm sure Jim Chaney will close that gap on his own here this offseason. So, Josh, on the basketball front, what's your confidence level that there will be a basketball game Saturday? Is there any – and if not, if Vanderbilt can't play, of course, you know, last night they were supposed to play. Vanderbilt has COVID issues. Is there any alternative that the Vols could pick a game up Saturday? I'm assuming not.
Yeah, I don't know. Can I opt out of the question on this one? I don't know. Yeah, it's just it's a bit of a messy situation. Not Tennessee's fault, of course, but I'm not saying it's anybody's fault, really. But it's just something that I think the SEC and college basketball is going to have to manage. We've seen it around the country since the start of the season, including with Tennessee in the first 2 weeks of the season where the Vols had to cancel and move games. And we saw it in the Big 12 with the Baylor-West Virginia game that was going to be a good one last night. So I don't know. They're hoping to play the game on Saturday, and I guess we'll see what the next round of testing does. And if Vanderbilt can't go, I have not seen exactly what possibilities could be for the SEC to try to move something around. But obviously Tennessee does not want to have two games wiped out this week. But South Carolina's had multiple issues over the last couple of months. Now Vanderbilt and Missouri here over the last couple of weeks. And it's just a headache that I think the SEC recognized would probably be there. Play as many games as you can. Maybe it's not 18 for everybody, but play as many games as you can and try to get to a conference tournament if you can. But most importantly, get to the NCAA tournament. It'll create challenges, I think, with trying to figure out who belongs in and how do you compare resumes. But that comes with this college basketball season.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Josh, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
When we come back, we're going to dive into the NFL playoffs. What do we think about the Ravens and their chances in the AFC after they've knocked off the Tennessee Titans? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, taking you through this Wednesday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee, and the divisional round of the playoffs coming up this weekend in the NFL. Down to the final eight in the NFL, the final four in each conference. You've got the Chiefs and the Browns coming up this weekend, and the Ravens and the Bills in the AFC. And then on the NFC side of things, the Rams and the Packers and also the Buccaneers and Saints meeting for the third time this season. So, Joe Rexrode, as you look at the slate this weekend in the NFL in the divisional round, which game are you most looking forward to?
Well, it's a great foursome of games, and it should be. The divisional round usually is pretty darn good, and this is no exception. Two games to me that are a little bit better, and I hope they're all great. But I just don't know if Rams-Packers is going to be great. You know, I think if the Packers take care of their business and play like they should, I think that they'll handle that game. And, you know, I'd love to think that Baker and those guys can challenge the Chiefs. I'm not convinced they can't, but it's the same sort of thing. You know, the 2-1 seeds, sometimes you have that week off, you're a little rusty, you get smacked in the mouth. I mean, certainly the Browns are capable of doing that. They're capable of running the ball, possessing the ball. But those two games, I'm not sure will be great. I really will be surprised if the other two aren't very good. That's Ravens, Bills, and Bucks, Saints. And some people might disagree with me on Ravens, Bills. I'm really excited about that game. I think the Ravens defense, building off what they did in Nashville against that Tennessee Titans offense, I think that they are primed to really challenge the Bills. And, you know, we'll see if Lamar Jackson and that offense can find, you know, again, they have another 200 plus yard game and really make a bid. And I just think that Tom Brady, so far the Saints have really handled the Bucs in those two games, but can they do that for a third time against Tom Brady? I mean, that's the primo matchup, you know, the two pawpaws going at each other the last game of the weekend. So those two, I think I might go Ravens-Bills, though, honestly, is the game that I'm most looking forward to watching. I mean, it's just a fascinating matchup.
Well, it is, and I'm on the FanDuel Sportsbook app right now, and the Bills are favored by 2 in that game. So very close in that game expected between the Ravens and the Bills. I got to say, like, that Ravens defense, it may be the best defense remaining in the playoffs. Like, I know the Rams, they've got the number one defense in the NFL. And obviously, right, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, but Aaron Donald's hurt right now. He hurt his ribs. He's not going to be at 100%. That Ravens defense was just so good against the Titans, and not only in the run game, but obviously limiting Tannehill as well and what he could do. I will say this. We're going to save our picks for later this week. I think the Ravens have got a pretty good chance to go in here and get the job done.
With Buffalo's defense struggling against the run, I mean, Nyheim Hines broke off a few big chunk runs in the second half of that game, and I don't think this is a good matchup for Buffalo. I just don't, especially with how lethargic they looked at times against the Colts. They did make plays, but they also had some moments where they did not look like the hottest team going into the NFL playoffs.
Joe Rexroad, you talked about the Browns and the Chiefs. If you had to nail down what that line was right now, what would be your guess?
Well, I mean, I could lie and tell you I'm not looking right at it.
Well, my goodness.
But I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't know you were going to ask me the question. But honestly, I would not have guessed. And again, I'm looking at ESPN.com. They've got it at Chiefs by 10.
Yeah.
I honestly – that actually surprised me a little bit. I would have guessed the line to be more like 7.5, 8. You know, Chiefs giving up 7.5 or 8 or so. That's a big line, you know. Especially just how impressive the Browns look. But I think a lot of people look at the Chiefs, and I kind of look at them this way too, like a team that was just bored at the end of the year and maybe due for about a 45 spot or so once the playoffs get going. We'll see. But some people in Vegas must be thinking that way, because that's a big line.
It's a big line, and it's interesting because, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he hadn't played in 3 weeks. So I'm always kind of hesitant going into these games of, all right, which teams are more susceptible to having a letdown and kind of being rusty out of the gate. I think we saw a little bit of that last year from the Ravens. I mean, not to take anything away from the Titans, because they obviously had a great game plan in that game, but I did think there was a little bit of rust involved with the Ravens last year early in that game. The Chiefs are one of those teams where I don't know if I really have that concern, just based on Mahomes, how good he is. And I agree. I mean, towards the end of the season, when you're 11-1, 12-1, they look like they were bored and just ready for the playoffs at that point. Now, that doesn't mean that they're just going to steamroll everybody through the AFC and get to the Super Bowl and have a chance to go back-to-back automatically. But I am interested to see like how quickly the Chiefs can get up to their top level, because we have seen teams – you know, take a week off before the end of the season, have the bye in the first round, and then when that game comes around, they're a little slow out of the gate. And I'm interested to see whether or not that happens with the Chiefs this week.
Well, you talk about last year, it was 24-0 Texans before they decided to wake up. And gosh, Bill O'Brien helps him out with a stupid fake punt, you know, that blows up in his face. I mean, so they've experienced that too. So it is a dangerous game. I just, you know, you look at how Baker is throwing the ball. Obviously, again, they have that the two-headed. I mean, that's probably as good a duo as there is in the NFL when you talk about Chubb and Hunt running the football. And they're not a great defense, you know, but they get after the passer. And that's been the formula for, you know, like when the Raiders beat the Chiefs this year. They were in Mahomes' face all day. And that's the formula. You know, can you get to him, rattle him, just like most quarterbacks? You know, we talk about the Graybeard matchup in New Orleans. You know, both of those guys, famously, if you hit them early, you get some pressure up the middle on Brady and Breeze, all of a sudden that accuracy takes a little bit of a dip. So, I mean, I do think the Browns have a lot to offer in this game to make it interesting.
I am really looking forward to Bucks versus Saints on the History Channel. With Vin Scully and Morgan Freeman on the call.
Very nice. Well done. Did you see Brady Photoshop that picture the other day of the History Channel with the two white beards of him and Breece? It's going to be pretty good in this game.
By the way, did y'all check out the Nickelodeon feed?
Yeah, it was Brady.
Did y'all check out the Nickelodeon feed for Bears Saints?
Yeah. A little slime action?
That was actually a little fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, people have kind of gone crazy with it this week and said, you know, you should put every game on Nickelodeon. I don't know if I'd go that far, but every now and then, yeah.
A couple games a year.
Yeah, a couple games a year. Wouldn't be opposed to that, seeing a little slime action. Sean Payton, after the game, literally got slimed. It was cool.
No, I thought it was a great idea. It was a lot of fun. You know, Nate Burleson's great. Honestly, the problem is, like, most like traditional announcing crews, I'm happy to switch off that for something like that. But I mean, I like Romo, you know, calling a game. So I didn't stick with it. So, you know, that was just me. I mean, I think if the alternative is most other announcing crews, I probably just stick with the Nickelodeon. But no, that's a great idea. They should do more stuff like that. Why not?
You know what the most depressing part of the AFC playoffs, if you're a Titans fan, to me is that's left here in the field? Look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. Mahomes, Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. The oldest one is 25 years old. Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield are 25. Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, 24 years old. I don't think these teams are going anywhere for a while with these guys at quarterback. So this AFC, you know, I'm not sure it's going to be as good as it was this year where 11-5 buys you a 7 seed in the AFC, but it doesn't look like, from a quarterback standpoint, these teams are going anywhere just based on how productive all four of these guys have been this year.
That's a good point. But, again, we've been talking about the old guys who are also playing on the other side, you know. So, I mean, being young, you know, Deshaun Watson's a great young player too, and they went 4-12, right? So, I mean, you still have to have a lot of other things around you. And it's not like Ryan Tannehill is old. He's sort of in that middle ground between the real young guys like who are alive. And then obviously, you know, the old dudes who still can play really well in this league. So I hear what you're saying, but you know, you can be a good quarterback and quarterback a bad team too.
Sure. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the trajectory of the seasons that they've had, I would expect next year all four of these teams are going to be a factor, once again, the AFC, just based on the roster they have and the quarterback play. Like, you know, Josh Allen, to me, his ascension this year, if Brian Daboll moves on and he's not with the Bills next year, does that offense look the same? Is Josh Allen the same? I think that's an interesting question, but I do think just based on purely an accuracy standpoint, he's improved by leaps and bounds. So I would expect him maybe not to be as good as he was this year, but Josh Allen – I don't think he's going to, you know, just return to the arm punter that we thought he was when he first came into the league.
Right. Oh, yeah, no, I mean, look, and you know, he may lose his guy, and same with Mahomes. You know, I guess Greg Roman, no one wants him, which is
apparently not.
But you know, if you're the Titans, you look at those guys and all these teams, and, you know, there's going to be more good quarterbacks. There's going to be a really good young one in Jacksonville. starting next year. You know, you better figure out a way to get quarterbacks to the ground in the future here.
When we come back, we're going to dive into the Titans. How important of a priority should wide receiver be in the upcoming draft, regardless of what happens with Corey Davis? We'll discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.